Now, the first thing every one of these papers that you hear somebody talk about Medicaid planning starts out is Medicaid planning in the best interest of the client? And I apologize that my slides might be a little more busier than they are normally when you've seen me present, possibly, rather than just having some bullet points, because I didn't know exactly whether everybody was going to have the paper available to them and could be in the middle of the paper at the same time. So the little busyness more with the slide verbiage is something that, in case you cannot get to the paper at the same time you're looking at the slides, I was hoping would help you out. But as I said, everybody covers this Medicaid planning in the client's best interest. This paper doesn't discuss that, but every Medicaid eligibility discussion for a client has to start that. And we're going to explain in a minute why we're not bothering to discuss whether Medicaid planning is in the best interest of the client at this point in time. And the other thing to understand is this paper doesn't talk about dealing with income issues. Income issues are most times very simplistic unless you can do something to eliminate the income, which by definition, if it's Social Security or one of the other incomes, you can't eliminate it. The only thing you could do is use a Miller Trust or a qualified income trust in most cases. Now, this article concentrates on the protection or strategies for the protection of assets that allows the client to maintain control and keep the assets in their own hands. Now, a lot of times when you hear people talk about Medicaid planning, they talk about gifting assets away. And that's one of the first things we hear from non-lawyers when they come into their office. Somebody says, well, I have to give all my stuff away to my kids. It's never in the client's best interest, or at least it's never preferable for me to have my client give away their assets. And that's why we didn't go into a big discussion about whether Medicaid planning is good or bad. If the person needs the care and they can get the care with being on Medicaid and preserve some of their assets, that's why we use the asset, the techniques in this paper are going to show you how to qualify the client and allow the client to maintain control and ownership of the assets themselves. Most of these papers that talk about gifting assets away, they talk about gifting it away or buying annuities. Because anytime you give assets away from your client, no matter how trusting the people they're giving the assets to, those people could die. They could get sued. You have to worry about credit issues, things like that. But in most cases, it's not always a possibility, but we always hold out hope that sometime, even after we qualify the client for Medicaid, that they may get better and they may want to leave the nursing home and go back in the community, go back to their home if they have it. And if they do so, they may need to pay for private care, even at a high rate, particularly towards the end of their life. And if they have those assets and you haven't gifted them away or done something with them, we'll talk about spend down in a minute, gotten rid of them, then that client can utilize those assets to pay for caregivers, even at a high burn rate, to go home for, you know, several months or many months at the end of their life. And that's what this paper is really concentrating on. Now, why do we call this the cookie jar approach? Well, as Diane mentioned earlier in her talk about spending more and more and more time with our presentations to our clients and explaining, it's very difficult to explain these very complicated concepts that you'll find at the end of this paper to our clients. So I found out through my practice that using analogy, so to speak, is a good way to explain stuff to your client. So everybody understands the cookie jar approach. And what do I mean by the cookie jar? Well, when you explain to a client that Medicaid allows us to have certain cookie jars. We can take our non-exempt liquid assets and put them inside this cookie jar. And later on, if we wanted to, we could take those assets back out of the cookie jar and use them for some other purpose. Like if we wanted to go home and spend some time in our home or in an assisted living prior to our death, or we want to get out of the nursing home and go back and live with one of our children, we can take that money back out of the cookie jar. So that's why we call it the cookie jar approach. And even though most people don't have a cookie jar at home anymore, most people, particularly the age of our clients, will be familiar with the concept. Now, it's simply the cookie jar approach is using liquidating non-exempt assets and purchasing different types of exempt assets or manipulating those exempt assets. Now, I hear the word spin down used a lot by clients that come in my office that someone said, told them they have to spin down their assets or something like that. We don't use the term spin down in that manner. When you talk about spending down assets in our office, we mean we're spending the assets like to pay off a debt or do something like that, that we're never going to get that money back. That's spending it down. Anytime we can keep the assets so that they're available for the later use of the client, that's what we refer to as the cookie jar approach.